We're in a series of lessons called Fasting and Prayer, or Prayer and Fasting, that we've been on. This will be our fourth lesson in the new year. I guess we started the very last Sunday in December, setting the stage for prayer and fasting, where we were for 10 days. And I want to encourage you that, as I said a moment ago, we're just going to keep that flame burning, and we're not pulling back. We're going to be a church that we just are going to see God work and move and do things that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither's entered the heart of people, the things that God's prepared for them. But he reveals those things. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Who's known the mind of the Lord? Scripture says, but we have the mind of Christ. So there's something about in prayer, there's something about pressing in, there's something about hearing and spiritual activity that'll lift you above this normal or natural life and lifestyle and get you to see from, we could say, the mountaintop. If all you're looking at is in the valley, how many know life looks pretty discouraging? But God wants to lift you up, and prayer and fasting, as we've talked about, gives you and I the ability to do that. What would you do if I told you that there was a way, that regardless of what you feel like right now, regardless of what you're dealing with right now, regardless of all the need or all, maybe your life is a little bit of a wreck. I mean, you know God, but your life's a little bit of a wreck. What if I told you that there's a way that you could actually get God's attention, that you could actually get God's attention, and that he would stop in the scheme of running the universe, of keeping the planet spinning and the stars from colliding, and so there's not some cataclysmic, you know, a world event that destroys everything. What would you do if I told you there's a way to get God to stop and actually listen to you and lean into you and hear you? There is a way. That way is called prayer. There is a way. That way is called prayer. That regardless of what you feel like, regardless of what you've experienced up until now, the scripture is real clear that I can actually call upon the name of the Lord and have the Lord respond to me, and you can too. We've been talking about prayer that's asking and seeking and knocking, and prayer that's fasting, and prayer that's pursuing, and prayer that's looking, and prayer that's listening, that we can fashion our life to not just rely on our flesh and rely on our education or rely on our money or our own ability, because all that will have an end to it some way. But there's a way that we can draw near to God and know that God will be there with us regardless of what it looks like, or even looks like right now, or looks like next week. That you can know for surety from what the scripture says that he's going to be there with you. Peter says this in 1 Peter 3:12. He says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. And so I just want to just challenge you. I've already said a couple times, in case you've already missed it, don't let the last 10 days of prayer and fasting be your last. Don't let it be a January thing. Don't let it be a set thing. Don't let it be, oh, I do that then, or before maybe you were a God follower or going to church, that you were that person that say, well, I go to church at Christmas and Easter. Don't let it be then. Let it be an ongoing thing that you decide to do now. That's why we're praying on Monday and want you to come. And maybe you can't come this week. Maybe you've got something going on. But set it on your schedule. Set it on the rhythm of your life. Personally for you in the morning, at night, whenever you do your stuff, your time alone with God. But weekly that you say, I'm going to join with some other brothers and sisters, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to stay hungry. I'm going to stay passionate. I don't want to get old and crusty, young and bitter. I don't want to know more about TikTok than I know the Word of God. I'm hungry for God. I want to pursue the person of Jesus Christ and see him work in my life. I want the scriptures that I see God doing things from the Old Testament to the New. When I see Jesus doing things, I want to be that way for him. I want to see blind eyes open, deaf ears. I want to see nations and cities tremble and know Jesus. Come on, am I talking to the right church? It's going to happen as we pray. It's going to happen as we pray. Listen, it's going to happen as we pray. We pray. Not just a couple of older folks. No, we pray. Come on, young people. We need you praying. We need you praying. So there's this thing, you know, that people experience, you know, they go from the revival high. If you've been to church, you know, the week-long revival and everybody's, and they're swinging off the chandeliers. The youth go to the mountains and they're, judge, give me a giant, give me Goliath. And then by the time the week's over, they're on Delilah's lap. Because the camp high, because the 10 days of prayer and fasting high, because we're in it and we're pursuing and we're setting our agenda and we're pulling back from media and all those things, and we're just kind of going a little harder with God. And then all of a sudden, you start hearing God a little clearer. All of a sudden, the fog starts lifting, the mist lifts, and you can see and you can hear and you can know. And then when you pull back from that, all of a sudden, the San Diego... The clouds roll in about 4 o'clock, and it gets cloudy again. And then we go back to our own lives just because, not that the power's not there, but we've pulled back. Let's be a people that never pull back. Amen. My life is a life, I could say it this way, don't think that anything negative about this, but I know that if I give myself too much slack, I will become a slacker. If I give myself too much leniency, I will become a renegade in that area. Listen to me. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's food, and you might look at me. I don't care what it is. If it's in my mind, if it's in my emotions, if it's in things that you don't know in me and I don't know in you, and there's something about saying, I'm pursuing you and I'm not going to let go, because there is something or someone that's crouched, as Jesus told Peter, or excuse me, with Cain. When God came to Cain and said, sin is lying at the door, crouched, ready for you. You can have mastery over this and not pursue to try to kill your brother. He didn't do it. Listen, in all of us, there is this giant, there is this entity called the flesh, that if you don't consistently kill it in the word and in prayer, you will be dominated by it. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And listen to me, if you're in the middle of some stuff, that's why I'm telling you, you come on out on Monday nights. You come out with us, and I believe, listen to me, that whom the Son sets free, come on, is free indeed. Chains are going to be broken. Come on, everybody. Things are going to start changing in your life. Listen, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open when we pray. He's ready. He's willing. Listen to me. Let me encourage you. Don't let prayer just become like as a transaction. Don't let it be as just a transaction where you're saying, I need something from God. Just a transaction. I'm only praying, coming to you, this transactional benefit. I need you. I want you. And then God never sees you with your heart just worshiping him. Not just a transaction. Let your life be like a reaction. I'm not just coming in a transaction. I'm coming as a reaction. You love me. You died for me. You gave yourself for me. And so I'm not coming to gimme, gimme, gimme. I want something. I'm coming reacting to your love and your goodness in my life. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to bow down to you. Whatever it is, Lord God, I want my life to be used by you. You're going to pick that up when you press in with God in prayer. Psalm 55, verse 17, the psalmist says this, evening and morning and noon, I will pray. Come on, read that out with me, will you? Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Isn't that interesting? We wouldn't start the sentence like that. We wouldn't say evening and morning and noon. We would say morning and noon and evening I'd pray. Well, the Jewish mindset, the Hebrew mindset, the day starts in the evening. It starts in the evening. It starts in the evening. Let me encourage you. I believe what the psalmist is trying to tell us and what God is trying to tell us here is that we need to, listen, we need to learn to pray in the dark. You need to learn to pray in the evening. You need to learn to pray when all hell's breaking loose. You need to learn to pray when you're alone. You need to learn to pray when there is no feeling. There is no emotion. Listen to me. Don't let your nights drive you away from the King of Kings. Don't let your darkness and the fear and all the stuff that we all deal with keep you away from the Word of God or the people of God. Don't let it drive you away. Let it drive you towards God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. No feeling, no emotion. I'm up in the morning again. I mean, my clock now is I'm going to bed a little earlier. I'm getting up a whole lot earlier. I was early, but I'm earlier. I mean, all of a sudden, it's like I can't sleep. And so I'm up and I make my coffee. And it's almost like as I'm walking down my stairs, it's here I am again. Here I am again. I don't feel anything. Not feeling anything right now. But I know what your word says. You want to hear my voice and I want to spend time with you. And when I'm with you, things are going to change. I know it. So you got to tell your body who's going to run your life. You got to tell your mind what you're going to trust in. You got to learn to pray in the dark, in the dark. When I think about praying in the dark and praying in just troubling times, we've talked about this Old Testament character a couple different times, but Daniel just stands alone. Daniel's prayer life was amazing. When you look at what he and Shadrach, Meshach, and all those exiles, they were taken out of their homeland and taken to Babylonia, and they were enslaved, if you will. These guys were real smart. These guys were educated, and they were then given prominent positions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And they were put, you know the whole deal where they gave them tests and they gave them the education. They pretty much put them in the Babylonian university, learned the language, learned the customs. And Daniel, though, he didn't ever, even though he was in the culture or around the custom, he never left the culture of serving God. He never left his culture of praying. And so we see that even while Daniel was in exile, as his custom was, when Haman was going to try to kill all the Jews, with Esther, Mordecai with Esther and that whole situation, that they went to praying, fasting and praying. We've talked about that with Esther, and then with Daniel, when all hell's breaking loose, that if you pray, the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, if you don't sing, to the idol and don't bow down, we're going to kill you in the fiery furnace. All these guys never bowed down, and they had backs of steel, and they were strong. How did they do this? It was the daily, consistent time, day after day, week after week, that they would pray to God. We find out when the edict got out from those guys that anybody who prays any other God besides you, King, we're going to throw them in the lion's den. Daniel goes home, and the scripture says he opens up his window, and he starts praying again to his God as was his custom, three times a day. Where'd he pick that up? Psalm 55. Evening, noon and morning, I'm going to pray to my God. It doesn't make a difference what you say, what you do. This is who I am. This is what my life will all be about. And isn't it interesting, after somebody sets their face to do that, sets their heart to do that, is it no wonder what God speaks? Is it no wonder what God does in a man or a woman's heart like that? Read with me Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Daniel's praying, and it says this, "Do not fear, Daniel." Daniel gets an appearance from Gabriel, the archangel, one of the archangels. Actually comes to him two times. We'll read both these occurrences. The angel says, "Don't fear, Daniel, for from the first day," check this out, "that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." An angel, Gabriel, shows up and says, "Listen, I'm coming here because of the words you spoke. God saw you set your heart. God saw you wanted to understand. God saw you humbled yourself before God. I am coming because of the words you spoke, the prayer you prayed." Daniel 9, it says this in verse 21. Daniel says, "While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering and informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand.'" I want you to learn, Daniel. I want you to grow. I've come in answer to your prayer. While Daniel was speaking in prayer, God sent an angel. While you're praying, listen to me, help is on the way. Amen. It's on the way. This is all over the Bible. This isn't just New Old Testament. This isn't just a prophet. This is what God desires for all of us, that when we pray, that we would receive what we pray for. When we pray according to the word of God, we pray according to the will of God. That it's not just that I'm saying some words and I'm a hoping and a wishing and wondering if he's going to hear me. No. When I pray according to his will, according to his word, he hears us. This is what the scripture says. 1 John 5, 14, 15. Look what it says. John writes, the beloved apostle, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask," come on, somebody say it, "whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." No. Help me out, Alex. Put verse 14 back up there again. No, I don't know how you read the Bible, but put you in his. Listen, put you in it. When you read the Bible, you got to put you in it, not somebody else in it. Such as this. "Now this is the confidence that I have in him." Yes. That I have in him. "That if I ask anything according to your will, you hear me. And if I know that you hear me, whatever I ask, I know that I have the petitions that I have asked of you." Put you in the Bible. The first thing that we see here is that prayer gives you an assurance that God loves you, that God hears you, that he wants to hear you, that he wants to spend time with you, that God's working on your behalf. This is the confidence that we have in him, that God, listen to me, is working all the time. Here's the problem with most of us, and here's the problem I think with all of us, is that we just don't see it, so we don't think anything's going on. That I know I should pray, and when I pray, I'm really not expecting too much. Well, if you're not expecting too much, you probably aren't going to get too much. But if you're expecting God to answer you, if you're expecting God to show you, if you're expecting God to intervene, listen to me, you can be assured that's exactly what he's going to do. Amen. Can I get a better amen in the house? So let's just set it this way, is that God's working all the time. Now here's the caveat. He's working in you for his glory and his purposes before he works for you with an answer or help. One more time, stare it down. God's working in you for his glory and his purposes before he's working for you with an answer or help. God wants you to have confidence. God wants you to be assured. As we said a moment ago, God, that whole situation with Lazarus wasn't for God's benefit, wasn't for Jesus' benefit. It was for all those other folks that were there. In fact, Jesus actually says in one place, he says, Father, I knew you heard me, but you didn't do this for me. You did this so they'd believe. God's doing things all the time. Listen, there would be no faith needed if God answered your prayer like you prayed amen now and it's there right now. God requires faith, trust, confidence, belief. I love what the Amplified Bible says about what faith is. Faith is the leaning of your entire human personality on God, an absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and his goodness. Faith that after I pray, my confidence is in you. I'm leaning on you in your power, your wisdom, and your goodness. Now, I'm not leaning on my benefit. I'm not leaning on who I am. I'm not leaning on my works. No. Faith is a leaning of my entire human personality, my mind, my will, my emotions, my intellect, on God, no matter what it looks like. I prayed in Jesus' name for that child to come home, for that body to be healed. Come on, for that need to be met. I prayed according to your will. I know it's your will. I know it's yours. So I'm going to rest. I'm not going to stress. You're my good shepherd. You make me lie down right now. My mind wants me to go and grab it again and think about it again and get all anxious again. I'm going to put that thing down. You lead me beside still waters. Come on, you restore my soul. I'm going to believe God. Come on, everybody. Going to believe God. So he's working in you for his glory and purposes before he actually works for you with an answer. So leave timing alone. Leave the time element alone. The manifestation. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? I don't know. How long? I don't know. My place and your place is to be fully assured and to be confident. This is where trust is built. This is where God wants you to rely on his word, to rely on his goodness, to rely on his character, to rely on his nature. God, listen, God is committed to your spiritual formation, not just your prayers being answered. He's after you being matured. The book of Lamentations, you probably hadn't read that for a minute. The book of Lamentations is, you know, talking about Jeremiah the prophet. He went through lots of serious situations. He just said, you know, I'm tired of speaking out for you, because every time I speak out for you, they throw me in jail, put me in stocks, and you know, beat me up a little bit. And so he says, I'm kind of done. But he writes this. It says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55, he says this, I called on your name, O Lord, from the lowest pit. You heard my voice. Do not hide your ear from my sign and my cry for help. You drew near on the day I called you. Notice, you drew near on the day I called you. And you said, do not fear. You drew near on the day I called you, and you told me, don't fear, but I was still in the lowest pit. You drew near on the day I called you, and you told me, do not fear, but I look around, and I'm still in the pit. What do you do there? Can I tell you something? This is where most of us need to be. Listen, your pit needs to hear your prayer. You need to keep praying. You need to keep pressing. You need to keep saying, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who's left me. I don't care what my current situation is right now. I know you heard me. I know you heard me. Paul writes it this way in Philippians chapter 4. He says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if you do that, verse 7, and the peace of God that passes or surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. You know, be anxious for nothing. That's a good one, isn't it? Don't be worried, one translation says. Don't be fretful. Don't be all worked up and tied up about anything. But what do we do? What do we do instead? What do we do instead? In everything. In everything. Whatever's messing with you, mess it up with a prayer. Come on, somebody. Whatever's messing with your mind, whatever's messing with your emotions, with your family, with your body, with your job, with the people around you, mess that whole thing up with a prayer. Come on, get the mess out with the message of a prayer. Come on, everybody, that we're going to choose to pray about it. We're going to choose to petition God. We're going to choose to ask God to intervene and get involved in the middle of it. Let your requests be made known to God. There is not going to be any peace in your situation unless you let your requests be made known to God. Come on. Then he said, then the peace of God is going to come, right? Come on. The peace of God is going to bypass your understanding. You're going to, how can you have peace in the middle of this pain? How can you have peace in the middle of this delay? How can you, don't you know, Abraham, that it's been 20 years since God said you're going to have a child? Don't you know how long you've been saying it's coming, it's coming? I know my breakthrough's coming, and you're kind of going, breaking. Nah, keep singing. Come on, keep praying. Keep believing God. Come on, everybody. We're people that just keep moving forward. We're not going back. Yeah, we're going to keep believing God. So listen, your peace is connected to your prayer. Your peace is. Be anxious for nothing and everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Let God hear whatever is heavy on your heart. Yes. You know, a lot of people spend a lot of money going to therapy. I'm not against it. A lot of people go to counseling every week. I'm not against it. But the scripture is really clear for a believer is that you've got somebody that you have access to, not for $125 an hour. You've got access to someone who actually lives inside you, who's called your comforter, who's called your counselor, who's called your advocate. Come on, somebody. I'm all down with somebody with skin on. I'm 100% down with that. Totally, 100%. I'm cool with that. But I'm more cool with let's go to God first. Let's present our case to God first. Let's get him intervening in your situation. Let's let him get to the root of it and get the anxiety out of your heart. And like Daniel says, when I prayed, and the angel says, I've come because of your words. Jeremiah, Lamentations, you don't have to fear. In the middle of my pit, I don't have to fear. God heard me. The situation's going to change. I've got great consolation in what you've said. I'm convinced. Everybody wants peace. Not too many people want prayer. And yet, your peace is connected to your prayer. So let me encourage you, get God involved in every decision that you're making. Get God if you're in university. What major should I take? If you're thinking about a job or a change, God, what do you say? If you're thinking about forget dating somebody, marrying somebody, dating somebody. You know, you could date the devil. Come on, Lord, what do you say here? Lord, is this the right one? I don't know about this one. I don't want to. You know, he looks pretty good, but he's got horns coming out there. I don't know. Come on, you want to get God? Come on, anybody? Come on, you want to get God in the middle of it? Come on, anybody got kids that started dating and they came over the house and you went, oh my Lord, I bind the devil in Jesus' name. I bind the devil. not bind the devil. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And check it out. Remember that? And supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. In everything by prayer. Prayer. Let's talk about it for a second. Prayer. Fellowship with God. Fellowship with God. God, you love to hear me. You love my voice in the morning. Yeah. I'm not an annoyance to you. When I'm coming down the stairs and I'm wiping the stuff out of my eyes, and I'm trying, Lord, you love it when I spend time with you. Yeah. Prayer, fellowship, coming, asking, worshiping, prayer. 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 All kinds of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication. Supplication is a word we don't talk about. Most people don't even know what it means. But supplication, Bible definition, it's talking about intensity. It's talking about earnestness. It's talking about, I'm not ever going to stop asking about this until this changes. There's a story that Jesus talks about in Luke's gospel. And it's a story about a woman who goes to the judge and says, deliver me of my adversary. And the Bible says, the judge says, speaking for himself, I don't fear God. I don't care about God. But this widow woman keeps bugging me day after day after day. And I'm tired of hearing her voice. And so I'm going to give her what she needs just so she'll get off my back. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm going to give her what he needs. I'm going to take care. I'm going to take care. I'm going to take care. Listen. Supplication. Strong. Consistent. Insistent. I demand God. I want God. I'm coming again. You're not twisting God's arm that all of a sudden God says, well, you bugged me enough. I guess I'll give it to you. That's not the point. The point is not that God is unjust. The point is there's something about a persistent faith that gets God's attention. Will you be that person that continually comes? Would you be that person that transfers the burden from your heart back to God's hands? To say, Lord, I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep coming. You're going to get tired of my voice, you know, wink, wink. You're going to get tired of my voice because, listen, I'm coming again asking for that unsaved person. I'm coming again talking to you about this need. Are you not my healer? Did Jesus Christ not bear my sin, my sickness, my disease, my infirmity? So I'm coming to you about this, and I'm using my faith, speaking to my own body. Body, you got no choice. You've got to listen to me. Body, you're not making the decisions around here. Body, you're going to die when I live on forever. So out of my spirit and my soul, I'm talking to my body. I'm talking to my mind. I'm talking to my emotions that's in my flesh. You're not going to dominate me. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Come on, somebody. In the middle of your praying, you got to be thankful, God. Come on, everybody. Thanking God. Let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God is going to come into your life. Something interesting, these two stories that we'll wind up today, these two instances with the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 3, Jesus is when John the Baptist, his cousin's baptizing him. He's baptizing lots of people. And it says, check it out. Let's read it. Let's make a couple points before we leave today. I think this is important. When all the people, Luke 3:21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized. Come on, say Jesus was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form. Listen, the Holy Spirit didn't look like a dove. Come on. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's not a bird. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form, had a bodily form, gently like a dove, rested on Jesus, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You're my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Check it out. John the Baptist and Jesus in the River Jordan. John baptizes his cousin Jesus, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, lifts him out of the water, and while he's in the Jordan River, listen, this gospel says, Jesus prayed. He prayed in the middle of the river. Prophetically, he is the living water. He is the one that washes away all sin. He is the one that brings the new thing that God's doing while the old thing leaves. He's the one who brings in the New Testament through his blood. He's the one that, as they usher in the Old Testament with the law, he's King, he's Lord, he's immortal, he's invisible, he's the only wise God. He's in the Jordan and he prays. There's going to be moments in your life when you must be extremely sensitive to when you need to pray. There are times, I'm just telling you, that we're coming in. I could take you back to marks in my life, markers where at that moment I knew I needed to pray. I knew I needed to come to God. I knew I needed to bow my knees. I knew I needed to lift my hands and ask for his intervention. Those moments have marked me, and they will mark you. He prays in the Jordan, and while he's praying, the scripture says, heaven was opened. Audience with God. I've got an audience with God. Scripture says the Holy Spirit then came upon him, God's presence. When I pray, heaven's open. I have audience with God, the Holy Spirit, your presence. Scripture says the Father then spoke from heaven. The Father spoke from heaven. Listen to me. Praying and hearing go together. It's not just praying and I never hear God. When he prayed, he heard God. The Father's words were voice of affirmation. He received the Father's affirmation. And there's never a time that I'm in prayer. There should never be a time that you're in prayer that you don't hear the affirmation of the Father. I love you. I'm for you. My plan for you is great. This isn't the end of your life. This pit won't always be this way. My light is enough for you. My word is enough for you. My life is enough for you. When you pray, heaven opens. The Spirit of God, the presence of God, alive in your life. You get a chance to hear God. The Word of God comes alive. The affirmation, "You're my Son, whom I'm well pleased," he tells Jesus. By the way, the Father says this over Jesus before he ever worked a miracle, before he ever preached a message. He wanted Jesus to know, "You're my Son, I'm well pleased with you," before you ever do anything for me. The second and last scripture we'll read about Jesus and prayer is in Luke 9. And Jesus gets three disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. Verse 28 says, and they go up to that mountain to pray. Again, as he prayed, The appearance of his face was altered and changed, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared, scripture says, in glory, spoke of his decease and that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Again, as he prayed, he was changed. He began glistening. His face was changed. Of course, we're talking about Jesus. His clothes were changed. This isn't going to happen to you like this. But the point is, as you pray, you are changed. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 3 that we're transformed. Same word as Jesus was transformed physically here. We're transformed on the inside of us from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. When we pray, we experience change. As he prayed, listen, don't run with this, but listen. As he prayed, Moses and Elijah appeared to him. What's that mean? What's that mean? Listen to me. When you pray, all of a sudden the eyes of your heart open. You can see things. You see things clearly. Now, if you come to me and say, I was praying and I saw Moses, I'm going to hit you upside the head. You're not. No. But when you pray, all of a sudden, God gives you a picture. God gives you an image. God shows you something you need to do. He reveals things to you. Somebody, one of my spiritual mentors just kind of called it like you have a mini vision. You just know on the inside. You see it. You see it. It's different than you hear it. You see it. I see myself doing that. I see that situation changing. I see it. You can't tell me it's not real. I see it. He saw Moses and Elijah. And then, of course, he heard things. As he prayed, he heard things. God wanted to tell him. As he prayed, he heard things. What did he hear? Scripture says that Moses and Elijah were talking to him about his decease. Future. When you pray, you're changed. When you pray, you're going to start seeing things right in here. When you pray, God's going to start talking to you about some future things. Listen, he's going to start talking to you about some future things. I want you to start this. I want you to stop this. Let me give you a little picture about he's going to start talking to you. Listen to me. This Jesus lives in you. And he is very much interested in you spending time with him and hearing the voice of the Father. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth, who is going to show you and tell you things to come. You don't have to be afraid of God. You don't have to be fearful. You're not good enough. Listen to me. He loves you and wants to spend time with you every single day. So evening, noon, and morning, I'm encouraging you, no matter what you're doing, no matter what it looks like in your day, find time to get away and spend time with Jesus. It might be your drive in the morning. It might be your scripture reading at night. It might be you're pulling away for a meeting and you're asking God, help me with some wisdom here. I need to talk to you. I need this situation to change. Listen to me. When you pray, God is hearing you. Come on, all over the room, stand up. Come on, everybody. Father, we just thank you today for hearing us. We thank you that you're a very present help in time of trouble. We thank you that you're drawing near to us, Lord God. We thank you for your goodness, Father God, right now. Come on, all over the room, let's just lift our hands. Father, we thank you that you're faithful, you're reliable, you're dependable. You're trustworthy, Lord God. We're not going to be people who pull back. We're going to be people who press in. Lord God, we pray. Come on, just lift up a prayer for your family right now. Come on, for your family, for your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, people that are close to you, your brothers or sisters. Father, we're praying laborers across their path. In the name of Jesus, we're praying that they would be saved, Lord God, that they'd come to the knowledge of the truth. Open up their eyes, open up their ears, Lord God. As we pray, Lord God, the moment we pray, help is coming. Answers are coming. We're assured right now, Lord God, that you're intervening from heaven, Lord God. Right now, we thank you. Things are coming into their life. Things are leaving their life. Desires are changing. Come on, desires are changing right now. In our loved ones, Lord God. In our business. Come on, in our business. In the things that concerned us, Lord God. In school or with the job we have. Father, you're intervening right now. We ask you, Lord God. We ask you, Lord God, to help us be wise. Help us to know what to do, Father God. We ask you for your favor. We ask you for your grace. We ask you for your mercy, oh God. Help us, oh God, today. We're in a time of need. We need you, Lord God, and we want you. We know you have all the help and all the answers, Father. We bless you. We thank you for it. We honor you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Can all God's people say amen? Come on, we're going to clap. Let's clap like we mean it. Come on, he's good. Come on, he's good. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Let your pit this week hear your prayer. I don't know how many times maybe you've slipped in the pit yourself or somebody else put you in there. That pit's not going to be the end of your life. Come on. You're coming up out of that. You're coming up out of that. You're coming up out of that. God's got answers for every question you have. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. He's near. He's near. He's with us. All over the room, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we give people an opportunity every week to make that decision. It's a decision that begins with a prayer and continues with a life that's just continually transformed looking to Him. If you don't know Him or you're away from Him, you know in your heart where you go, where you're just, I know I'm not right. I know I need Jesus. Listen, we want to pray with you today. All over the room. Listen, generally we have heads bowed and eyes closed. How about heads up and eyes open today? If you want Jesus working in your life, if you just say, I need to make a change. No embarrassment, no shame. We've all been there. But you just say, that's me. Pray for me. All over the room. Come on, would you just lift your hand and say, that's me. Come on, we're going to say a prayer out loud. Awesome. 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 Thank you. Thanks, y'all. Thank you back there. Thank y'all. We're going to pray for you. Come on. So all over the room, we're going to say a prayer. You all mix faith with it. I have your hands raised. Come on. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I recognize my need. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I say with my mouth, I believe in my heart, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Be my Lord. Be my Savior forever and ever. I repent. I change my mind and I'm changing my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody. Come on, we celebrate that. Y'all back there, y'all over there. Come on, everybody. Come on. We celebrate that. Come on, everybody. Jesus is Lord. Come on. He still saves. Come on. He still saves. So here's the question. Did he hear you right now? Did he hear you right now? Come on. What, did he hear you right now? Yeah. Did he answer right now? Yeah. Yeah. So now, since that's a fact, you just stay turned. You just stay turned to Him. You stay turned to Him. If He removed your sin, if He took your guilt and shame, if Jesus took your place on the cross, stay turned. Stay turned. Not going back. I've left that. I changed my mind. Changed my direction. I'm not going back to that lifestyle, those thoughts. I'm running towards God and staying that way. Amen, everybody. Yeah. Your best days are coming. Come on, your best days are days ahead. I know. Come on, I know. We singing that? Let's sing it. Come on, we can sing it one more time. Hey, I know.